Turn your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
Agriculture is Saskatchewan, and 620 CKRM is your source for everything ag. Welcome to our newly expanded Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Here's your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge is another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op, offering fuel, food, and drinks on Highway 13. Arcola Co-op, you're at home here. Today we have an update on the $4 billion Lake Diefenbaker Irrigation Expansion Project. There are three phases, and right now it's in the pre-planning design phase. The Saskatchewan Water Security Agency recently revealed an update on the project. Real Agriculture talks to Grain Growers of Canada and their response to Ottawa's $50 million program to help farmers upgrade their grain drying capabilities. We have an update on the private member's bill on farm trespassing. It's being heard in the Commons Agriculture Committee in Ottawa. Sask Wheat discusses control of fusarium head blight at its semi-annual meeting yesterday. Canary seed will soon fall under the Canada Grain Act. We have the latest weekly update on Saskatchewan's feeder cattle market. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, helping growers contract any type of grain. Call 1-800-324-7778. And Mazenk Fuels, your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazenk. 306-721-6667. The Saskatchewan Water Security Agency has given an update on the $4 billion Lake Diefenbaker Irrigation Expansion Project. Patrick Boyle with the Water Agency says the 10-year project is in the pre-planning design phase.
We're kind of getting into the beginning of where we're headed here. And so phase one, it looks at the west side, what we call the west side project. And there's two parts to that. And the first part being in rehabilitation. There's existing canals there already, about 42 kilometers and a pump station. And so we're looking at that and working with our team of consultants with Clifton Associate and Stantec Engineering and doing that pre-design, pre-planning stage. And there's also a significant government team dedicated to this. Across a number of different ministries and agencies. So, you know, it's quite exciting getting into the project here, kind of at the beginning stages, but it's moving forward. And, you know, certainly that'll add roughly 80,000 acres of irrigation on that phase one or project one here.
And that's cost of $500 million. What is the time frame for that?
Right now, you know, our plan is looking at doing that pre-design and pre-planning phase, and we'll really get to determine exactly the cost and the timing after that's done. But for the next 12 to, you know, 18 months, that's kind of where we're at. We have to do our due diligence and do our assessment work and do our engagement work with our stakeholders and engaging with our First Nations and Métis communities. And that's all part of that pre-design planning phase as we work towards kind of getting this project down the road.
So that's you've outlined phase one, but the time frame sounds like you just really aren't certain yet when it would start and end. What's the phase two outlook?
Yeah, phase two is an expansion of that phase one. So further continuing that west side project, moving north, and that one kind of moves north towards that Asquith sort of Rosetown areas, and would add an additional 260,000 acres of irrigation. So you know, that one. Really, a lot of it gets kind of planned or implemented based on that pre-planning design that we're doing in phase one, because really phase one and phase two are connected, and you have to build the pump station and things to be able to actually get water to phase two. So timelines and things are informed by that and also the cost. So we're undergoing that work right now and all our assessment work, and it's exciting, and you know, it's one of those truly amazing project for this province, kind of, you know, as we look at things that have been done in the past.
And how much cost, and what would be the additional amount, acres of irrigation for the phase two?
Phase two would be about 260,000 acres of irrigation. And cost-wise, we're kind of looking in that $2 billion range for both of phase one and phase two. But, you know, those are high-level estimates we'll define with more study and more work here as we get into that pre-planning, engineering, and design.
What's phase three?
Phase three looks at the Qu'Appelle South project, and that goes down from Buffalo Pound, or down from Qu'Appelle Dam to Buffalo Pound Lake, and adds roughly, you know, another 120,000 acres of irrigation, and that's, you know, forecast to be another around that $2 billion mark. So all total, it could be up to $4 billion for each three phases of the project. But, you know, that one is probably the project that would go, you know, as we look at the phases, it's the third phase in the sequential order here.
Patrick Boyle is with the Water Security Agency. Coming up, he further discusses phase three of the $4 billion 10-year Lake Diefenbaker Irrigation Expansion Project.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch Eaves Troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca and Co-op Hail Insurance. They've been there for farmers for over 75 years, and they'll be there for you. The Saskatchewan Water Security Agency is offering an update on the 10-year, $4 billion Lake Diefenbaker Irrigation Expansion Project. Patrick Boyle with the Water Agency says the project is in the pre-planning design phase. In stage 1 and 2, another 340,000 acres would be brought under irrigation from Lake Diefenbaker at a cost of $2 billion. Boyle says stage 3 would bring water from Lake Diefenbaker to Buffalo Pound Lake with a canal along Highway 42. 100 kilometers of canal.
Yeah, it's a significant distance, and it's a large project, and, you know, it's going to take some time and at the beginning here to do all the necessary work up front and get it moving and go from, you know, kind of that conceptual phase to really at the end of the day construction. So, but, you know, we got a lot of work to do in advance of that, and stakeholder engagements and our assessment work, and it'll be an interesting journey. But at the end of the day, this is truly a Saskatchewan project built by the people of this province for the benefit of everyone across Saskatchewan.
And getting that final third phase, I see there's also possibility of power generation because there's water going downhill.
Well, you know, kind of one of the things we're looking at this whole project in terms of is innovation and what can be done. I mean, you really don't know until you get into it and start looking at some of those preliminary and pre-planning design and engineering to see what is possible in the whole scope of the project.
But I see, you know, one report indicates you could generate as much as 6.2 megawatts of power, but it would be only temporary as water wouldn't be flowing perennially.
Yeah, you know, there's some conversation there. Are we at a point where we could confidently say that? Not yet. I wouldn't say that, but certainly we're looking at all sorts of innovation for the whole project.
And this final phase three would add how much for acres of irrigation?
It's about 120,000 acres would be from that Qu'Appelle Dam, the south side of Lake Diefenbaker, down to Buffalo Pound in that corridor there.
What's the big vision here? You're hoping to add a lot more irrigated acres and expand the province's economy.
Yeah, really, this project is going to add somewhere between $40 to $80 billion to the GDP of over the next number of years, and a significant amount of construction jobs over the next 10 years. And really, at the end of the day, we're talking about food security for Saskatchewan and the country. And that vision of where Lake Diefenbaker was and where it came from, you know, we're looking for the next 40, 50 years of what does the province look like. And you think of in terms of today when you buy your groceries and where they come from, and that could say Outlook Saskatchewan.
Patrick Boyle is with the Water Security Agency. This segment has also been brought to you by Ducks Unlimited.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update brought to you by the Canola School. Get canola agronomic information when you need it on your smartphone, tablet, or laptop. Our library of timely agronomic information is free and available at canolaschool.com.
Federal Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau last week announced a $50 million program aimed at helping farmers upgrade grain dryers to reduce emissions. And this is something that was originally announced back in the federal budget back in March. But these details, or at least some details in the beginning of the application process, was announced last week by the Federal Ag Minister. Joining us to discuss this announcement and some other topics as well, we're pleased to welcome Aaron Gowerlick, Executive Director of Grain Growers of Canada, back to Real Ag Radio. And Aaron, why don't we start with the grain dryer program? Your thoughts on the $50 million initiative that was announced by Minister Bibeau last week?
I think it's a good first step, and I think we had an opportunity. That was, of course, the $50 million that was announced as part of the $165 million that have been set aside for this agricultural clean technology program. And so that $50 million we know can be used either to retrofit an existing grain dryer to make that grain dryer more efficient or to purchase a new grain dryer. I do have to thank the federal government. They did reach out to grain growers in advance of the announcement and did seek some feedback from us in terms of, you know, how we could incentivize some of our farmer members to take advantage of this funding. And what we learned through an initial survey that we did with some of our members was that a lot of them had recently purchased new grain dryers or made retrofits to their existing dryers. So I don't know to what extent you'll see a significant amount of uptake for retrofit of what are likely already some pretty efficient grain dryers, but I think that the majority of respondents indicated that if they were in need of a new grain dryer, they would certainly take advantage of this program to help offset the significant cost of purchasing one, and in so doing, with a newer dryer, be a little more efficient.
The criteria, the main criteria from what we understand from Minister Bibeau's office, is that these dryers simply must be more efficient or from an energy, from an emissions perspective, that they would have reduced emissions versus the status quo. Do you feel that's clear enough, or that it's going to be a simple enough process to appeal to producers to sign up to incentivize adoption of more efficient drying equipment?
I think that's in terms of process and how straightforward it will be, that's yet to be determined. So I think it's a good question. It's a fair question. But I think based on the feedback we were seeing, too, is that grain dryers are being designed now. Modern grain dryers are as efficient as they can be. And so I think the incentive there will be, if you're operating with an older piece of equipment and purchasing a new grain dryer is going to offer greater efficiency, then this is going to help offset the cost.
We had the chance last week to also ask Minister Bibeau about a related topic or development, and that is the commitment that her and the Environment and Climate Change Minister, Jonathan Wilkinson, have made to offer rebates for the carbon tax or the price on pollution paid for fuels used for grain drying. Any update on that front? Minister Bibeau she indicated that they're still in talks and that that will be an announcement down the road, but no update at this time.
No, that was outlined in budget 2021, and I believe that's where it was estimated that farmers who reside in the backstop jurisdiction, so in Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Ontario, would be eligible to receive up to $100 million in the first year. And then, of course, the returns in future years are going to be based on the proceeds from the carbon tax collected in the prior fiscal year, and that's going to increase over time as the price on pollution increases. So that was their plan, and that continues to be their plan. You know, of course, we are at Grain Growers of the View, along with many, if not all, of our national partners on this. We're in support of MP Philip Lawrence's private members bill. Bill C-206, which is one we hope we'll see, we'll cross the finish line. And this is, if you recall, an exemption for the agriculture sector, because we believe that if you recognize that the cost is unfair, if you recognize that the cost is significant, then let's reduce a significant amount of red tape where the only people who are going to profit from that process will be the accountants who have to process those applications. And let's just ensure that farmers and ranchers across the country are exempt.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your agro weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Partly cloudy today, windies 20, gusting to 40, the high 21, the low 12. Thursday, mainly cloudy, 60% chance of showers or thunderstorms tomorrow. Wind southeast 20, gusting to 40, increasing to 40, gusting to 60. The high Thursday, 25, the low 15. Friday, cloudy, 70% chance of showers, windy, the high 18, the low 11. Saturday, sunny, the high 24, the low 12. Sunday, sunny, the high 28, the low 15. Monday, sunny, the high 33, the low 17. Tuesday, sunny, the high 33. Normal high for this date, 23 degrees. The normal low is 9. Sun rose at 4:48 this morning. It sets at 9:08 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot is Estevan at 24. The cold spot up north, south end, at 10 degrees. Estevan, once again, 24. Saskatoon, 17. Swift Current, 15. Weyburn, 22. Yorkton is 20. Regina, cloudy and 17, that's 63 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the north-northeast at 23. Humidity is 78%, the barometer rising 101.8. Cloudy and Moose Jaw, 17, winds are from the north-northeast at 21. Once again, Regina, cloudy and 17, that's 63 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment.
This spring, apply pre-emergent Edge Microactive Group 3 herbicide from Gowin, Canada, before seeding your canola. Maximize yield today and manage resistance tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowin, Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. The Commons Agriculture Committee is continuing to hear from various speakers as it reviews Bill C-205. That's the private members bill introduced by Alberta Tory MP John Barlow to amend the Health of Animals Act, and stems from an incident more than a year ago in southern Alberta. That's when dozens of protesters illegally entered a turkey barn near Fort McLeod and started making demands. The bill would tighten regulations concerning unauthorized entrance onto farms and also substantially increase fines for anyone who does. Darren Ference is with Turkey Farmers of Canada and Farms in southern Alberta. He spoke to the committee about the incident near Fort McLeod and the impact it had on the family that lives there.
About 1.5 years ago, a farmer in Alberta entered his barn to find over 30 individuals from an activist organization had broken in. Additionally, the activists had made sure that the RCMP and press were called and were on site. This is a huge shock to the farmer. Imagine if you woke up in the morning to find a group of strangers sitting at your kitchen table, or showed up to work and had them sitting all around your office on the floor. Despite being on private property and breaching biosecurity protocols, the group demanded turkeys be released to them before they would leave. The turkey farmer handled the situation well, being open and honest, and pointed out to the on-farm programs in place for the welfare of birds. However, the situation was difficult for both the farmer and the turkeys in his care, and points to the absolute importance of this bill. Break-ins not only breach the farm biosecurity, they negatively, in fact, impact the farmers and their farm families and have ramifications on their feeling of safety and well-being. Canadian turkey farmers take a great care to ensure the humane treatment of our turkeys, while providing safe, high-quality food to consumers.
During the question-and-answer session, Ference was asked how passage of the bill would help the mental health of farmers.
The stress that a farmer has, having all these people come in, and it's like invading your home or your place of business. Your home is your private place. Our farms are our private place, no different than your home. And if you have 30 people sitting there demanding certain pieces out of there, it is very stressful, and it's very stressful to deal with. And our animals are part, they're actually like part of us. So when the animals become stressed, we're also stressed, and this would help improve it.
That's Darren Ference with the Turkey Farmers of Canada.
An integrated strategy is required for fusarium head blight management in wheat and durum. Dr. Randy Kutcher with the University of Saskatchewan made the following comments during the Sask Wheat semi-annual meeting yesterday.
Start with clean seed, possibly even a seed treatment to be sure that you're getting the crop off to a good start. Follow a diverse rotation. I firmly believe the more diverse the rotation, the better off we are generally. Unfortunately, we don't have resistant varieties in all wheat classes, but the CWRS, the hard reds, are getting pretty good. You know, under in a severe year like 2016, I'm sure you'll still find fusarium, a head blight, but maybe not as bad as you would have 20 years ago. Scout for the disease and apply based on risk rather than routine application. So, you know, I hear quite a few growers say, you know, I just spray pretty much every year now. I don't think too hard about it. But that does increase the risk that the fungicide will become ineffective if we're using them continuously. Only a recommended number of treatments, which so far I think is one for most growers. I think an integrated approach to manage this disease is the best thing to do, probably the most economically beneficial and stable. Unfortunately, we can not spray our way out of it. Fungicides are one tool, but they're all for suppression. Nobody's saying you're going to control the disease, even with a well-timed fungicide. You need to couple that with a better variety, or as good a variety as you can get for resistance, and hopefully use a reasonably diverse crop rotation to manage the disease. Timely application will improve things, as opposed to, say, spraying too early or too late, but it's really suppression. It's not control. Upping the seeding rate might be beneficial, especially for crop staging and hopefully getting most of that fungicide on most of those heads when they're at the critical stage. And we haven't seen evidence of fungicide insensitivity yet, but we'll be on the lookout to make sure that we'll let you know if things change. So combine a diverse rotation, resistant cultivars, and fungicide when warranted, most efficacious way to deal with the disease.
Dr. Randy Kutcher is a professor at the University of Saskatchewan College of Agriculture and Bioresources. He was a presenter at the Sask Wheat semi-annual meeting yesterday.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And SMHI, Municipal Hail Insurance. Three tiers of stackable hail insurance. Contact an agent or visit us online at municipalhail.ca. Storms are unpredictable, municipal hail isn't. There was mainly sideways movement for feeder cattle prices across Saskatchewan this past week. Acting Provincial Cattle Specialist Natasha Wilkie says there was limited price reporting for several weight classes of feeder cattle.
Well, we saw some limited price reporting, I guess, for the feeder steers again, but prices were reported for three out of the seven feeder steer weight categories. So we got the 500 to 600 pound weight category, ended the week averaging $227 per hundred weight. The 600 to 700 pound weight category, ending the week averaging $211.50 per hundred weight. And the last report weight category was in the 700 to 800 pound weight category. It ended the week averaging $196.79 per hundred weight. And we compare these prices to the week ending May 14th, which was our last reported week. They were mainly lower with the exception of the heaviest reported weight category. And so we move on to Saskatchewan's feeder heifers. They had prices reported for most of their weight classes. So the prices ranged from $199.75 per hundred weight for the 400 to 500 pound weight category, down to $160 per hundred weight for the 800 plus pound weight category. When we look at price comparisons there, we had one for the 600 to 700 pound weight category, saw a large price increase with prices going up $5.25 per hundred weight to end the week averaging $179.25. And the 700 to 800 pound weight category also had a small price decrease, I guess, with prices going down $1.04 per hundred weight to end the week averaging $169.13.
So what are the factors affecting these market prices?
Well, we saw some sideways movement, I guess. We still have that really strong Canadian dollar and the high feed barley prices. They're limiting, you know, prices from moving up a whole bunch. But then thankfully we've got the choice beef cut-off value. It's providing some support for those live cattle prices, which then provides support for the feeder market. So that's helping push prices up.
And what were marketings?
So Canfax reported a total of 5,514 head of cattle sold in Saskatchewan last week. That's up quite a bit from the 2,015 head marketed the previous week and higher than the 3,980 head marketed during the same week in 2020.
What happened with market-ready cattle prices?
So we saw an upwards trend there as well for the price for Alberta fed steers. It went up. It was reported at $164.32, and so that went up 90 cents per hundredweight. When we look at the prices of live non-fed cattle in Alberta, they were mixed, with the price of D2 slaughter cows going up by $1.04 per hundredweight to average $102.75 per hundredweight, while the price of D3 slaughter cows slipped a bit, $1.15 per hundredweight from the previous week to average $88.60 per hundredweight.
Natasha Wilkie compiles the weekly feeder cattle market report for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update brought to you by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. If you are a Costco member, get huge savings on current 2019 and 2020 SUVs right now. And brought to you by Sask Pork. Saskatchewan's growing and vibrant hog industry creates economic spin-offs and career opportunities in our rural communities. Find out more, visit saskpork.com. Grain prices were showing downward movement in early trading today. Canola fell $26.50 at $7.20.27. Yellow peas dropped $18.38 at $3.37.76. Number one red spring wheat went down $9.68 at $3.09.89. The rest were unchanged. Durham $3.17.83. Feed barley $2.64.65. Flax $7.01.94. Lentils $7.60.50. Oats $2.16.53. Feed wheat $2.38.84. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, spring wheat fell 25 cents at $7.46.25 a bushel.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn 842-4574. Now the latest livestock quotes.
Assiniboia Livestock had a regular cow and bull sale on June 2nd. Prices are holding steady. From our last sale, we saw a small drop in heiferettes. Heiferettes sold from $120 to $135. D1 and D2 cows sold from $98 to $110. D3 cows sold from $0.50 to $0.75. And Canada cows sold from $0.14 to $0.40. Slaughter bulls sold from $109 to $127. This is Jordan Stevens with the Assiniboia Livestock Market Report. Have a great ranching day.
And the latest Saskatchewan pork prices, and this is for both the Sig 4 Brandon plant and the BP4 Moose Jaw plant, it's $244.53 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by the Prairie Co-op Grow Team, fueling farms, feeding families in Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasburg. Nutrien has unveiled a portfolio approach to its North American Carbon Pilots Incentive Program. Nutrien has announced a partnership with a wide range of companies to provide incentives to farmers to adopt sustainable agricultural practices through creation of a verified carbon asset. A diverse set of actions will be deployed for a variety of crops and climate zones to improve nitrogen management and soil health for positive carbon outcomes. Strong interest from farmers resulted in the enrollment of more than 200,000 pilot acres in Nutrien's carbon program, exceeding the initial 100,000-acre target to adopt carbon-positive farming practices. In Canada, pilots are built around government protocols for farm carbon offsets in the compliance market. Farmers in Saskatchewan, Alberta, and Manitoba will work with Nutrien to improve carbon performance through nitrogen management and conservation tillage. In the U.S., Nutrien grower customers in 15 states will generate carbon assets for purchase by a broad base of farm and non-agricultural buyers. On the markets, the TSX is down 41 points at 20,024. The Dow has fallen 49 points at 34,550. Oil is down 28 cents at $69.77 a barrel. And the Canadian dollar is up 2/100 of a cent at 82.57 cents U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620CKRM.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, now starting after the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag, 620 CKRM.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.